Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is Monday, January 17th, 2022. And today, I will be sharing true ghost stories from the web, as I usually do, Monday through Thursday. And then have a special topic-based episode on Fridays. As always, to find information as relates to the podcast, including links to social media and ways to donate and ways to contact me, along with all the episodes of the podcast, you can visit the main page, which is salcidoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O. And we can go from there. I'm always looking for comments and or questions on episodes and topic suggestions. And then, of course, stories of experiences, whether they're your own or others that you trust. I'm always looking for that kind of those kind of stories. Anything paranormal. It doesn't even have to be stereotypical ghost stuff. It can just be anything paranormal at this point. I just want to start getting stories in here. And I mean, finding the stories online is fine, but I'd love to start hearing from listeners. So, and even if you don't have any stories to share, if you want to just share the podcast with others, that will also help in the long run get more stories sent in as well. So, just a suggestion to start with today. So, as I said, I've got some stories here I will read. I'm hoping that everything is working right. It's kind of funny, when I started this, I typed in the name of the recording bot, but I typed it wrong, so it didn't start recording. So hopefully things go better from here on out. But, all right, so I'll get to these stories here. Thank you all for being here, of course, as always, whether it's for the live stream or listening to the podcast feed, or also, as will be easier to do from now on, you can also, you'll be able to listen to the streams, recordings of the streams, on YouTube. And I'll be posting those every day after each episode is finished. And that way everyone can listen on there. The main point of the YouTube is to direct people to the podcast feed, but I know for some people it's easier to listen on YouTube, so happy to help out with that way too. So, anyway, I will get to the stories here, as I've already said twice. I'm distracted today. Took a little while to figure out the YouTube thing, so I'm really happy that I did. I'm really grateful for all the help. Grateful for all the help that I've got, that friends have given me in getting all that going, because I could not figure out how to do it myself at first. So, but so here we go. This first story says, 5 years or so back, when I was about 13, my brother, mom, and dad and I stayed at an old hotel in San Francisco for a night before departing on a cruise ship the next day. It was a very small room with two fold-out beds. My younger brother and I shared a bed, and my mom and dad shared one as well. The foot of each bed extended toward each other, leaving perhaps a foot or two in between. Anyhow, we were all sound asleep in the middle of the night when, to my memory, my little brother and I awoke suddenly and simultaneously, both extremely cold. We began to fight over the sheets and blankets when we both became aware of my father awake in a panicked state. He quickly told us, "Go back to sleep now." At first, it didn't seem out of the ordinary, as we had a long day ahead of us. We all fell back asleep and slept peacefully through the night. The next morning, we left with no mention of us waking up. That afternoon, my dad talked to me alone and explained that he woke up in the middle of the night at the hotel and saw a large man wearing a flannel shirt standing between our beds, facing him directly. Upon the man's arrival, my dad explained that my brother and I woke up and began fighting for blankets, at which time he told us to return to sleep. The man had disappeared as soon as we woke up. I froze in fear when he told me this, knowing that he was never a believer in ghosts. He proceeded to tell me that I must not tell my younger brother or my mom about what happened. And that's where that one ends. Interesting story. Interesting that whatever this was disappeared as soon as the kids woke up. And then, so yeah, that was a good story. At least nothing else happened. I'm wondering if it just appeared and disappeared. If it was more of a residual or just an energy recording of a kind. And if it didn't really interact otherwise. It seems like that could be the case. But that's one of those things that you hear about in some cases where when things manifest, it also can get colder. Of course, there can be reasons for places getting colder too, but I feel like when there is activity that you can notice besides that along with it, that's interesting to me. So, but yeah, so let's see here. I'll go on to the next one here. And get through all of these today. There's a couple that are longer than others, so. But whatever we don't get through today, obviously we'll get through another day. So let's see here. This one says, my room in my grandpa's house had a dresser that he had bought because it was an antique. There was this drawer that was locked and needed a key, but when he bought it, the woman didn't provide one. One day, my cousin and I were talking. She was on the bed, and I was sitting on top of a box in the closet. She asked me, I wonder what is in that drawer. Do you think we can get it open? I said no, because you need a key. At that moment, before I could get those last words out, there were three knocks, and the drawer slid open. We both started screaming for my grandpa to come in there, and when he came in, he asked us what was wrong. We both started to explain what had happened. When he saw the drawer was open, he looked at both of us and asked, how did you get this open? I've tried opening it with a knife, crowbar, all of that. To this very day, he still doesn't believe either of us. And that's interesting. I wonder if it was just took the right amount of energy, maybe? Or someone or something was attached to it and woke up when there was the kids there. I don't know. That's an odd one. That's really, that's interesting, the timing of that, because the writer was literally saying, oh, we can't open it, and then it opens. That's I can understand how that'd be scary, but that's kind of funny in a way. It's like, well, yeah, can open, and then it did. I wonder, the writer doesn't say, maybe they don't even know, but I wonder what was in that drawer of that dresser. That could maybe, that'd be interesting to know that. Obviously we don't, but depending on what was in there and how old it was, and if it had, if there's anyone that before they had any deep attachment to it emotionally, whatever was in there. Yeah, interesting story there. I always kind of like the ones where people, the timing is just right there. Whether it's someone saying in a story, "Oh, ghosts don't exist," and then something happens, or in this one, which is a little bit different, where the writer says, "Oh, that can't open that," and then it opens. That seems to be intelligent to a degree. I don't know, maybe not, but it seems like it. So, on to the next one here. Okay, it says, "I'd always been a skeptic when it came to the paranormal. That is, until one night, about 5 years ago. My ex-girlfriend and I used to ride up this one-lane road I am on and build campfires and such. One night, I parked the car off the road, and I was playing with the radio when she shook my arm and pointed to the back seat. I turned my head, and when I looked, I saw that the blanket I had in the seat wasn't the same as it should have been. It had taken on the shape of an arm from the elbow down, complete with a full hand, and every digit was perfectly formed. I was shocked, but eventually built up the courage to grab it and throw it in the trunk behind the back seat, which was thankfully already open. The funny thing is that at the time, I had been parked next to a graveyard, and there you go, and the blanket belonged to my deceased grandma. From that moment on, I wasn't a skeptic anymore." And that is quite the creepy image right there. Seeing basically a shape of a person beneath a blanket just rise up when obviously there was no living person there. That's like horror movie stuff right there in a way. But, I mean, they did say they parked right next to a graveyard or cemetery. I wonder if anyone was there could have either been trying to make themselves known for whatever reason. I can also see someone maybe doing that as like a little joke. So, I don't know. That's odd. It's an odd one. But yeah, I can almost see that in my mind. That's a good scary story in a way. But at least nothing else happened. That's what I always say. But yeah, very interesting how that makes you wonder, because they mentioned that their grandma had just passed or had been passed. So I wonder. They didn't say if that graveyard was where she was at. Seems like there are some variables there as to what or who it could be. But, anyway. Lily says in the chat, "I have a story of sleeping in a car next to a graveyard." Interesting. Yeah. I'm thinking of this Friday doing this Friday's episode all about haunted graveyards and cemeteries in the surrounding areas. I think that could be fun. So check that out. I've already started doing a little bit of research for that, so that's the plan for this Friday. And then this Saturday, I'll be having a guest on again. I just arranged it tonight, so looking forward to that. But yeah, so we'll get on with this next story here. Okay. Just checking on the time. This one says, let's see here. Maybe this might be one of the longer ones. We'll see. It says, "I've recounted this story many times in my life. And while most people listen with interest, even half-heartedly, the end result is always the same. Yeah, right. When I was about 18 months old, my family moved from their house and into the one I've lived in for the rest of my life. Funnily enough, my old house was on a road or a street called Cemetery Road. There it is again. And of course, was right next to a cemetery. But it wasn't until I was in the family's new home that strange events occurred. In those early years, it would be impossible for me to remember everything with such clarity. I was a young child, but the events I'm about to recall, I remember with such crystal clearness, I could be tricked into thinking it happened yesterday. Now, my exact age, I am unsure of, but it would have been from 4 to 6 years old, at my best guess. I sat at the bottom of my stairs while my mother was doing the ironing upstairs. I was looking around the house, waiting for my mother to finish and for us to go pick up my sister from school. It was sunny outside, and I couldn't have expected what happened next. As I turned around from looking out my window next to the front door, I looked through the banister rails of my stairs towards my kitchen. The kitchen door. Page cut off there. There in the hallway, I spotted a man. I say it was a man, as it was the best way I could describe it as, and it wouldn't be for over a decade later that I would realize what I saw was not a ghost, but a shadow person. And I'll just stop there and mention that we really don't know. There's not one definition that really applies to all shadow figures, so some shadows can be ghosts. Just want to put that there. But anyway, the story says the man was standing, looking at me with a Benedictine monk's robes on, which was the same color they should be, brown. The robe hood was up, but instead of a face under the cowl, it was just blackness, pure blackness, a shadow. I remember looking down at the man's feet and noticing nothing was there, no shadow. But I wasn't sure if it was covered by the robe or not at the time. I remember staring for a few seconds before, and this is based purely on the testimony of my mother, I started talking to the man. What I said, I don't know, and it would require a lucky and great mental effort on my mother's part to remember. However, it was this exact talking that made my mother hurry out of the spare room where she was ironing, and I think she was carrying washing clothes. I can't remember exactly, but I can't remember clearly enough. And for her to ask, "Who are you talking to?" I turned to her, looking up the stairs, pointing in the direction of my kitchen doorway, and said, "That man there." This caused my mother to come down the stairs. I turned back to look at the man, but he or it was no longer there. My mother got halfway down the stairs, saw nobody was there, and asked, "You didn't open the front door, did you?" And I replied, "I can't reach it." It being the door bolt, but in reality, I could have, but not without my mother hearing the noise, even with her 50% hearing. I'm guessing that mean that she didn't have great hearing. So we went to pick my sister up, and I was sitting in the back of the car. When my sister got in, my mother said to her, "I think," and then the writer's name, "saw a ghost." And my sister sort of chuckled and didn't really care. So that would be the end of it, right? Well, not for me. However, the events I'm about to describe, I can't remember as clearly. Only that they happened, and my mother and father both can attest to it happening, and what I claimed happened in the following years. From the day onward, and I'm guessing they mean the day of the sighting, original sighting, I would often be awoken every night by footsteps outside my door, on the landing, coming up the stairs, and doors opening and closing. I would get out of bed, walk across the landing, then into my mother and father's room, squeeze next to my mother, and go to sleep. This often displaced my father, much to his anger. It happened so much, my mother and I developed a way of communicating, because our walls were next to each other, but pretty far away, in terms of walking distance. She told me to knock on the wall and wake her up if I was scared. I only remember doing it once or twice. I would usually get up and go into her room. However, I can't attest to being scared when I did so. But whatever my emotions, I did get out of bed and into theirs, the parents. This happened for a few months. Eventually, my father, a medical doctor, took me to a legal doctor, UK law, says, and he talked to me for a while about what had happened, which resulted in him telling my parents, there is no way this child is making this up. He doesn't have the world knowledge to do so. It's too detailed. Or words to that effect. This annoyed my father. I was a bright child, so it was dismissed as me being smart enough to fabricate such a tale. My mother, however, knew otherwise, for she had experienced at least twice at the hospital where she worked two ghosts appearing before her, with one walking through a wall right in front of her. So it was incredibly comforting to know that somebody believed me. This carried on for a few more years. One night, I went into my parents' room. My dad got out in a huff and walked to the spare room, which was down the landing, past the stairs. He did so in darkness, but upon reaching the spare room, he hit the landing light switch next to the doorway and refused to turn it off while he slept. He never explained why then, and not the other times. However, it was shortly after this event that my father, a religious man, brought in a priest to bless the house. Myself and my family talked to the priest for a while before he blessed every room in the house and all the outside outbuildings. This didn't stop the noises, the feelings of being watched, the barging past bump you got on the landing. I was the only one, to my knowledge, who experienced these. The last event was my loft attic hatch, which is a pressure lock system, meaning you have to apply pressure from below for it to lift out of its latch and fall open. It opened on its own outside my room one night. I was awake, and so was my mother and sister. My father had left my home by that now, family issues. From that day onward, I never experienced such events again. Well, I say that, but occasionally stuff has happened over the years, but nothing to the degree it was during those years. I have talked to my mother about this part of my life many times. She believes that young people become extremely sensitive to paranormal events, which usually passes with age. However, there is one specific conversation topic which makes me shiver with goosebumps, even as I type this, that goes something like this. And I guess this is the mother talking. You would often say that you could hear doors opening, closing, and banging, my mother would say. But you would always tell me this by ending, it's not a door of the house. It's not a door I recognize. It wasn't until over a decade after the end to the majority of these events that I happened to read up on the shadow person phenomenon. One article talks about them before explaining there are several kinds. There in the list of types of a shadow person is one that wears a monk's robe. So that's the end of that one. Hopefully that wasn't too long for everyone. But really, that's quite a lot of activity. And I don't know, that's a lot. So, let's see here, looking at chat. okay. So Lily says, I used to pass, or to walk past one of my, walks to town and back. Okay, the cemeteries, yeah. Says, I think having paranormal encounters, you mature differently to those whom have speculations to it. It's a way people mature in the spiritual foundations are given, and having so many different religions which also have connections to supernatural, you have to gain wisdom in your own path. Yeah. Interesting. It's an inheritance of our ancestors to find. Children are awesome for spiritual knowledge. Elise says, my son spoke Arabic when he was 3, so they can connect to higher consciousness because they have natural ki or chi. I'm not sure if I'd say that's right, sorry. But yeah, and that's the thing. You hear about that in a lot of stories. Okay. Hear about that in a lot of stories where either kids and or people that are going to pass, the people that are basically dying. oh, good. Okay. I'm glad I pronounced it right. Never know. Sometimes it's hard to tell. But yeah, people that are basically are closer to being born or to dying. So basically closer to that, whatever that spiritual dimension is between those or outside of this life, the physical life. People like that have experiences more, it seems, in some cases. So that is that's really interesting. And I do believe that. I feel like I don't remember having a lot of experiences as a kid, but definitely as like a preteen and a teenager over those next few years, I definitely had some experiences. More frequently than I think I do now. So I definitely think that's possible. I think we'll get through 2 more, and then we'll stop. I feel bad the last few times I've kind of done shorter shows, but I think I can do a longer one tonight, which is good. I like making these shows as long as I can. So this story says, for some background, I've been a behavioral health nurse for about 12 years, and my first job was at a freestanding mental health facility in the south. This facility is pretty uniquely constructed, as it was originally a plantation owned by a wealthy Irishman who immigrated here sometime in the 1700s. The original plantation house is still there and is now used as the business office. And the hospital itself was constructed to be attached to the house. If you explore the campus, there is a small graveyard with the original owner's tombstone, as well as some other family members of his. Additionally, there is a sign that says something along the lines of, this is dedicated to the slaves that worked and died on this plantation. So yeah, it's rough, but says, anyway, one of the stories that has been passed down among the employees there for decades is that a young girl, excuse me, in the Irishman's family, one of his daughters or grandchildren, passed away on the plantation at a really young age, and that her ghost still lingers around the house and the facility. There are certain patient rooms that have an unusual amount of paranormal activity. One day, I was walking past one of these rooms, and in my peripheral, I saw a young girl who looked to be about 9 or 10 years old, sitting on the bed. She was wearing a colonial-looking dress appropriate for the time period in which she was alive, and looked me directly in the eyes when I turned to look at her. I was incredibly startled, and my mind raced for a few seconds, trying to convince myself that she wasn't there. I walked a few feet past the room, gathered my courage to go back, and she had disappeared from sight. She didn't have any ethereal qualities, nothing otherworldly or strange. She literally just looked like a real person, sitting right there in plain view. During my time there, I never heard of anyone else who saw her as clearly as I did. But every once in a while, one of my coworkers or a patient would experience something strange, like doors opening and slamming shut. I remember one patient in particular that ran out of his room, white as a sheet, and said that while he was lying in bed, his bathroom door slammed on its own. It was so loud, I heard it from the nurse's station myself. This patient was there for addiction and had no history of hallucinations. Just thought I'd share. And that's an interesting one. That doesn't seem very residual. That seems more intelligent. The doors, it could be... Doors are tricky, and I've kind of learned that over just researching all this. I feel like doors can be... Yes, they could be someone or something manipulating them, but I feel like if the energy is right, if there's enough of it around or spikes of it, maybe that could possibly move things around, and it might not even be someone doing that on purpose. But the sighting of that girl and the way that the girl looked at the writer, that's interesting, and then the way that just disappeared and how it looked like just a regular person, like a living person. That was really something. Lily says, it's a journey to regain, as an adult, those spiritual things that we were as children. Definitely. But, that story is it's an interesting one there. I know some people that like to think that child ghosts don't exist, and that some people say that they're all, basically, it's always, if you see one, it's not actually a child. It's more likely something negative trying to trick you, but I think there's probably all of the above with all this stuff. I think there probably are those, and that's those darker cases, but then it does seem like there are stories of like this, where it's just you see a kid, and then they disappear, and nothing else really happens besides that. So, but, we'll do this one more story here, and then we'll be ending that for today, the show for today. So, this one says, I've asked all my friends who were there to recount the story without my input, to prove to myself they happened, and they confirm. About 5 years ago, my best friends and I were messing around in my friend's room. And in his closet, there was a small hole in the drywall. And we started picking away at it to make the hole bigger. We wanted to look in it because there was a couple feet of empty space between the closet and the next room, over in between the walls. We had grabbed a TV antenna and were poking it around in the hole, making the hole bigger and seeing how far the other wall was when the antenna yanked. I guess I mean it yanked backwards. And we got spooked and all ran downstairs. Meanwhile, we had a lamp without the shade on it in the center of the closet where we were messing with that hole. And the lamp was on, and when we ran out the stick was dangling out of the hole. When we returned to the room, the stick was on top of the twisty thing that turns the lamp on, the switch, I guess, on or off, and the lamp was turned off. I get chills every time I think of it. And that's an interesting one. It seems like I got someone or something's attention, and I don't know if it was happy or not that they found that area. That's interesting. I don't know. And the fact that they found objects manipulated had been manipulated when they got back. So, yeah, I don't know. I think there can be a mix of all things being possible. So, but yeah, that one is, I'm just wondering now what or who was in that little space there. Doesn't really say that if they ever actually got in there or not. I guess maybe if with all that happened, maybe they didn't want to. So it's hard to say. But I think they'll do it for today. Thank you all for being here. And I'll be back tomorrow with more true ghost stories from the web. And we'll go from there. Thank you all for listening, whether it's to the live stream or the podcast feed or the YouTube videos that will start coming out as of today. So I appreciate all of that. And take care and have a good night.